into sports.
With Jake Wimberly on the Afternoon Drive.
One of the last pure pleasures I have left in my life.
Yeah, maybe you ought to get a life first, okay?
On ESPN 105.9 The Zone and online
at TheZone1059.com.
Taking you home on a Monday, it is the Afternoon Drive. We're brought to you by Renco Transmission, 50-plus years, foreign and domestic transmission repair, 1460 Old Brandon Road in Flowood, 601-939-9184. Give them a try. I promise you will not be disappointed. And give our good friend Chris Landry a try as well. LandryFootball.com on Twitter, at LandryFootball. Chris, I was talking to Bill Bender in the last hour with the Sporting News. I wanted to pose the same question about running backs in the NFL. Get your take on this. What is the actual value? I mean, obviously, you've got to be able to run the ball, but when you get into the value now of a running back, you look at some of the, again, combine numbers. Devon Achane from Texas A&M led the way at 4.32 on a 40. Jahmyr Gibbs, good 40. You look at a guy like Denarik Prince from Tulsa, may get a shot. Chase Brown, a bigger back. He's going to be more between the tackles. Bijan Robinson as well. What is the actual value as far as the pecking order of running backs now?
Well, of this draft you just mentioned, Bijan Robinson's head and shoulders, the best of the bunch. And in terms of the priority, the reason why it's changed is pretty obvious. It's more of a passing league, so the quarterback and the receiver emphasis are greater than backs. It does not mean that running backs are not just as important. It's just that they're more fungible. There are more of those guys there, and there's less of a, I got to have a feature back, I'm going to run the guy 25, 30 times a game. And therefore, if you spread the carries around, well, then you don't really focus on one guy and you have multiple guys, like three guys that can be really good, and you work them in. And that's where you get, okay, well, I'll pick a Zeke Elliott high and it's really good, but then Tony Pollard becomes as good. He's a little quicker. Their lifespan in the league is shorter. They have the shortest lifespan of any player, any position. And so I think those are the reasons why they get devalued in terms of draft priority. It's still important, but it's not like it was in the 70s when you needed to get your Tony Dorsett or Earl Campbell or, you know, one of the great guys, because that's your offense. That's where your offense is featured. So I think that the value is where you can get guys that are graded pretty high a little bit later. But it does depend on who you are. If you're Tennessee, if you're Baltimore, and you're a running team, they're going to put a greater emphasis on that as a position priority than maybe other teams would. That's the reason why the, quote-unquote, the position is devalued. It is, but not as much as people think. It's just other things become a little more priority.
Chris, as you look at the wide receivers, Trey Palmer led the way in Nebraska with a 40 time of 4.33. He was a lone bright spot there for Nebraska mm-hmm. this past year. You go all the way down to Jordan Addison at USC, 4.49. A lot of guys crunched in that 4.4, 4.2, 4.3. How deep is this and how good is this wide receiver group with guys like Darius Davis at TCU and Marvin Mims at Oklahoma, and you can get down to Trey Tucker at Cincinnati? At least for me, at face value, and I can be wrong, this looks like a fairly, again, deep wide receiver class.
Yeah, and Smith and Jigba was outstanding. He had one of the better workouts. He's probably a more, you know, explosive Amara St. Brown type of guy. It's a really good group. You've got, I think, a few guys that are going to go pretty high, but I think that there's going to be good quality, say, you know, 8 to 10 down to like 16 or 18. That's where you're going to see a run on those guys. I think it's a good group with some different guys you mentioned, some guys that are versatile, that can play multiple spots. And then, you know, some guys that are maybe just one position guys, maybe their value will slip a little bit. You know, like for example, though, like a Jordan Addison, you're right, he ran very well. But, boy, he didn't have good explosive numbers at all. It was a disappointing workout. When you consider this is a speed guy that just doesn't have much explosiveness and he doesn't have a great size. So what I look at these workouts is it's not looking at the best receiver numbers, but I look at them by body types. So, you know, a 215 pound receiver that's 6'4", shouldn't be as quick or as explosive as someone who's 6'1 and 190. So I think that, you know, the bigger guys that can go up and big hands and make plays on the ball, those are the things I look for, and certainly the vertical speed. But for the other guys, they've just got to be really quick. The short shuttles, the three cone, the broad jump and the vertical jump, very indicative of explosive numbers at any position, even for like linemen. I know you say, well, linemen don't jump up. It's not about jumping up. It's explosion coming off the blocks, offensively or defensively, and certainly for receivers and backs, those numbers weren't as good for a couple of those guys with good 40 times. So that concerns me a little bit, but it's a good group of receivers, no question.
Chris, we'll get you on your way with this. We were talking a little bit about the proposed schedule model late last week. Ross Dellinger put this out on SI about the proposed 3-6, which it looks like where the SEC is likely going to go once Texas and Oklahoma get into the league. Nick Saban not too happy with his proposed lineup of Auburn, Tennessee, LSU, which they play them annually anyway. But as you cut it and slice it, I mean, do you like this proposed 3-6 model the SEC looks like they're leaning towards going to?
I think I do. And I say I think I do. I don't really know of a better option. one of the problems, and everybody's kind of fascinated by the big conferences, I've always been against it. I've not talked about it because what's the difference? It's so big and it's not getting smaller, right? But now that you get bigger and bigger, you can't play everybody. And now you add more teams, you really are limited. So how can you probably need another game in conference within the SEC? And I think it's the only way to get to the point where you can play everybody in the league within a 3 or 4 year period. I think it tells you how ridiculous it is that you got players at Georgia and Texas A&M that could spend 6 years, you know, in a COVID year at their schools and not play the other team. How can that be conference if you don't ever see? I mean, you can spend 5 or 6 years at a school and never play the other team. I don't know a better way to do it. I do think this pod system is going to be the better way because it gives you some regulars, it gives you some other. It's going to get us to get more teams playing one another within at least a couple of year, 3 year period. So, I haven't studied it enough, but I have talked to people whose responsibility is in the league office to do it, and I kind of think they're on the right track here. Although there are going to be some people struggling about it.
Chris, one more final question: Arch Manning is in camp with Texas. This is going to be one of the more interesting battles. Obviously, Quinn Ewers put in a great, what I thought was a pretty good year last year. How long can these two quarterbacks in a year or in an era now with the transfer portal actually survive, on Steve Sarkisian's roster?
So it's going to be interesting because, you know, the answer is, well, all those quarterbacks leave, you know, if they're not starting. But it appears, and again, it could change, but it appears Arch, being who he is and kind of where he's from, that he's kind of interested in practicing and redshirting this year. That's been kind of the word. Now, I don't know if that's just, you know, just we're going to say that because I think they want him, you know, he wants to play and be the guy. And I think they sold him on, okay, you're going to be the guy, but we've got a guy and this gives you a chance to do it like, you know, your uncles did. And even though it's a different era, I think there's something to that. So if anybody's going to be patient and be willing, it's probably Arch. He's probably the type that's going to stay committed, particularly as long as Sark's there. But that said, am I going to be shocked if something happens, you know, particularly with the modern day NIL and transfer portal? No, but I'm at the point now, Jake, where I'm shocked if the guy that loses out doesn't transfer. In this case, I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised. He might be the exception that might want to stay and be the guy because think about it, you know, he'll have his chance behind yours, and that's the way I think it's going to play out, but I'm just guessing.
Find him on Twitter at Landry Football, also LandryFootball.com. He's Chris Landry. Chris, always appreciate your time. Look, have a great week. We'll chalk it up again next week.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me as always.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Landry on your radio, brought to you by Ameristar Casino. Get out and play today. A lot of college basketball to play this week. And, of course, the tournament coming up here over the next month. More coming your way.